Time now on our pregame show to visit with Tom Cerutti, head coach of the Beavers. How'd you sleep last night, Tom, after the stress of worrying if your team is ready to go or not for night one?
Well, I slept, but you think of a lot of things. I mean, and I told you, I was a little, you know, and I mean, I thought I was pretty quiet on our postgame press conference because there's a lot that's going through your mind early in the year. And there was, you know what? I don't look at the game as a 9-2 game where you guys do. I look at it as, you know, and again, right, wrong, or indifferent. Am I happy the way the outcome was? Sure I am. I mean, I'm glad to put up 9, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and that's all I'm just trying to think the whole time I'm talking to you and the whole time the third period, the whole time I'm just sitting there watching some mistakes being made, and that's just natural for all of us. But it is early in the year. You're not going to be where you want to be right now. And the other thing is I just said to myself, we have a lot of work to do. We've got, like I said, we've got 10 new guys who are playing prominent roles for us, Schulze, and we got to get those guys, you know what, to develop the same mindset that we want as a collective group, and it'll happen, but it just doesn't happen overnight, whereas when you've got a lot of experience coming back, those guys automatically, through muscle memory, the structure takes care of itself is what I'm getting at.
To oversimplify this, those errors correctable, are they not?
Well, yeah, for sure they are. But you know what? They're correctable, but then they got to want – and it's the truth as a player. I'm not trying to be funny when I say this, but players also have to make sure that they want some of those things corrected. And sometimes they don't, and that's where it can be a tug of war. So, yeah, anything's correctable. I mean, you know, my old adage is work hard and work smart. And we all they all know what the – you know what? All these players know what the right play is, what the wrong play is, and what the risky play is. They know. And the bottom line is we need video to show it. We need to keep preaching, you know, how you want to be effective, how you want to win. And here's the thing. Many times throughout a game, you are going to have scoring chances. That's the thing. You know, but there's times that you have to throw the ball out of bounds. It just is. There's times you got to run out of bounds, you know. And that's the same thing in hockey. But you are going to get – you're going to have a plethora of scoring chances. And by just playing smart, intelligent hockey, that's actually going to take care of itself, and you'll be surprised how much time you will spend in the offensive zone. So those are the things, without me getting long-winded, and I'm getting long-winded right now, those are the things that, you know, that we need to shore up. And the reason I'm talking about it now is we just had, you know, a staff meeting about that.
I'm going to oversimplify this too. I would assume that you maybe do a lot more in-game adjustments, especially week one, week two, week three, where later in the year it's more minute things, not as much. Is that accurate?
Absolutely, Schulze. You're spot on. I would think that we're doing a lot more coaching. We're doing a lot more coaching right now, and we'll do a lot more correcting later. That's probably the best way of putting it. You know what I mean? So it's just – and, you know, video takes care of all this. And that's – like, we're – sports is a video-driven – right now, game, all of it, all sports, doesn't matter what. I mean, even baseball is, you know, and we just need to, and our guys are used to it. That's all they know too. And we just need to, we need to get some games in so we get some video, and that takes a lot of pressure off the players and the coaches, because you're just seeing it versus talking about it. You're seeing it.
Did guys react and adjust and correct what you guys were talking about last night?
Well, I'm not going to sit there. Schulze, in a game like that, I can't do a lot of coaching and correcting, to be honest with you. There's things on the bench I say to the group, but it also, you know, you're up by 5 goals or 6, whatever it is. You just, honestly, the game's got to end. We got to watch video. That's kind of how it goes last night. And you still can't overcoach. You can't overcoach on the bench. But you can all, there's certain triggers. There's certain habits that you're constantly, keep the puck low. That's your bailout play. You know, when in doubt, get it out, get it deep. You know what I mean? Just things that these guys already know, but you're just trying to reinforce.
Easy to focus on the offensive end, Tom, when you score 9 goals, but defensively, from a structure standpoint, what'd you notice last night?
No, we didn't have great slot coverage. We didn't close quick. We didn't keep pucks low. Like, good defensive play is also good offensive play. It's like keeping the ball on the ground, getting 4 yards of carry, making the team defend. Like, there's a lot of things you need to do to be a good defensive team, and everybody thinks it's always a defensive, you know, on the defensive side of the puck. It's not. Quite honestly, good defense is on the offensive side of the puck. And again, possessing the puck, keeping pucks low, getting pucks deep, having good F1 pressure, having, you know, backing up F1 with F2 on the strong side wall, making sure your F3's got a good distance between him and the scrums. I mean, there's just a lot of good habits that you can have in the offensive zone, you know, that create great defensive habits, because you're not defending a lot, and you're wearing the team down. So then you're getting offensive zone faceoffs. There's just a lot of things that play into it, Schultz. When we talk about defense, it's not necessarily defense. It's about really, it's the balance of your game and what you want to do and what you want to accomplish to make sure that you're good in both zones.
It's easy in practice. You can put air in that whistle and say, no, I don't want you here, I want you here. In a game that is completely different, how much do guys have to just realize, oh, I'm not supposed to be here, on their own, especially early on in the season when you're not there to correct it?
Well, you can see it. You can see it in the game when they're bypassed, for example. I don't get totally, as a coach, and I think our coaching staff is pretty good about this, you know, we're not sitting there, you got to be here or you got to be there. There's certain things that you can predetermine, but then it becomes paralysis by analysis, and you got to watch yourself that you're not consuming your guys with spots all the time, because you don't want to take away the hockey player in them. The biggest thing is you want to play on your toes. You want to have good reloading. You want to have good jump. Yeah, you know what? And they just got to recognize, you know, where's the best spot to be, you know, as an F3. Then you got to play, then you're playing the clock. You know, how much time left in the period? How much time left in the game? What's our lead? Do we want to have a higher F3 because we want to make sure if there is a breakdown, we have somebody in recovery mode? And there's just a lot of things that go into it, and a lot of it is situational.
More with Coach Sartori when we come back. Quarter Bar pregame show here on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two with head coach Tom Sartori. A little big picture discussion here. The independents in college hockey have added an end of the year tournament. I think that's a great thing for them. They've got something to kind of hang their hat on for the end of the season. But you look at Anchorage in particular, they're not home for 2 months. Big picture, is this sustainable?
I don't know, Schultz. We're in a tough racket right now. College sports is in a very interesting place right now, and I mean, who's kidding who? I mean, what we're doing in collegiate sports at the major college level is theoretically we're catering to the power force, and they got all the power. And I don't know where that leaves the group of five, you know, and I don't know basketball and football, but, you know, you read. I don't know where that leaves the group of five. And in hockey, there's just a lot of, you know, there's question marks in every sport. I mean, I bet you if you talk to somebody in lacrosse or, you know, somebody in baseball or volleyball, I don't know. You know, they're all going to tell you about, the ins and outs of their sports. And is everything sustainable? It all depends on how bad you want to program. But the bottom line is, nothing's easy. If you're not in the league, it's tough. If you're not in the league, it's tough.
Duluth is here playing Fairbanks this week. How important is it for teams that, yeah, we're going to go up to Alaska, we're going to go play Lindenwood, we're going to go play whomever?
Well, it is important. Obviously, again, you want these teams to have home games. You want these teams to flourish. You want them to thrive. We got a lot of hockey players. We got a lot more hockey players than we have teams right now in college hockey, especially with the addition of the CHL. So we only have 60 teams, 62, whatever the heck it is, and we've got a great player pool. So these teams can be very competitive. So you want to be able to play them. And hey, I'd like to play these teams more, but, you know, we're married to North Dakota, we're married to St. Cloud, we're married to Duluth, and next year we're married to St. Thomas, and we still want to play Minnesota. So it's hard for us to play those teams, and they want to play us, but I got to make sure, too, that I still have to do what's best for the Beavers. And we want to play those in-state teams from a travel standpoint, but a rivalry standpoint.
This weekend is homecoming. You guys are the only ones that aren't at home this weekend. The athletic department, as far as, you know, number of student athletes has grown over the last couple of years. How important is it for all of these athletes to hang out and be friends with each other? And hockey players go to a football game, football players go to a hockey game, and that kind of stuff.
Critical. I think, Schultz, and again, that's part of the collegiate experience. And I don't care if you're at a bigger school or a small, it doesn't matter. People are people. Sports is sports, and you want to be part of the whole overall picture of the athletic department. And you know what? They're like-minded people. They're driven. They you know what, they've worked hard over the years to become collegiate athletes, and I just think it's so critical. To the best of your ability to be able to support the other sports, whether it's in attendance, and if not in attendance, just to get to know them and see them on a, you know, you see them on a daily basis walking around campus, and you see them at the in the weight room, you might see them in the gym, you might see them at the rink, you might see them on the field, and I just think that's all part of it, and especially at a smaller campus, because again, a big portion of our enrollment are student athletes.
Well, I've noticed that since COVID. You know, student athletes, by and large, are the biggest percentage of ones that are on campus. And that on-campus aspect is the part of what makes a university part of a community, isn't it?
Big time. No, you hit it on the head.